Good morning. This morning we talk with our good friends Connie Brooks and Kate Reed from Batten Kill Books in Cambridge, New York for our book list. They have traveled around the literary globe. They have collected some wonderful, wonderful treasures. They've spent lots of time reading dozens of books and studying up. So Connie and Kate join us this morning with a terrific list of books to share. Because the weather is not great, they join us from Cambridge over the phone, and we're thrilled to talk to Connie and Kate this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Good morning. Can you hear us okay, Joe?
We can hear you fine. You sound great.
Okay, super. Great. We're testing out a new phone, so we wanted to be sure.
Well, great. Let's do it on the radio. That's fantastic.
Of course.
What could go wrong? I like it.
No, nothing.
All right. So, Happy New Year to you both. Thank you very much for being here. Where would you like to begin, Connie?
All right. I'm going to jump in with The Good People by Hannah Kent. Now, Hannah Kent is the author of The Burial Rites, which is probably, it's certainly in my top 20 books of all time. So that's pretty high praise. And just as in Burial Rites, she based that on a true story in Iceland of the last person there executed for murder. And in her new novel, The Good People, that's also based on true events, this time events that took place in the 19th century in Ireland. It tells the story of three women brought together in an attempt to rescue a child from a community steeped in superstition, which would condemn the child as a changeling. We start with Nora, who is still reeling from the death of her husband and finds herself alone and caring for her grandson, Michael, who at 4 years old has stopped speaking and talking. A servant, Mary, arrives to help Nora, just as rumors begin to spread that Michael is a changeling child who is bringing bad luck to the valley. Determined to banish evil, Nora enlists the help of Nance, an elderly wanderer who understands the magic of the old ways, and of the good people, the fairies, who you must placate to lift the ill luck from the child. As Hannah Kent did so well in Burial Rites, you will be transported in time and space, in this case to an isolated valley in County Kerry, beset by equal parts suspicion, blame, and superstition.
The name
and
of the
next, I'm gonna,
yes.
I'm going to go to a mystery. A lot of the times at the bookstore, one of the questions that we get most often is, I need a new mystery writer. Who do you have?
Right.
And this is Jane Harper, and her story is called The Dry. And The Dry is set in Australia, very hot, very parched Australia. And we begin with federal agent Aaron Falk, who has gotten a note summoning him back to his hometown, where he hasn't been in decades, and he has to go back to attend the funeral of his best friend, Luke. 20 years ago, when Falk was accused of murder, Luke was his alibi. Falk and his father fled under a cloud of suspicion, saved from prosecution only because of Luke's steadfast claim that the boys had been together at the time of the crime. But now Luke is dead, and perhaps due to mysterious circumstances. Amid the worst drought in a century, Falk and the local detective have to question what really happened to Luke and what happened 20 years in the past. And I confess that I read mysteries as much for the setting and the atmosphere as I do for the actual mystery, and this one has got it all.
It is Jane Harper's The Dry. Okay.
Dry. Now, I've got one that's really fun, and this goes on sale today, and it's a book called The Stowaway, A Young Man's Extraordinary Adventure to Antarctica, and this is by Lori Gwen Shapiro, and it is the true story of a scrappy teenager from New York's Lower East Side who stowed away on a 1920s expedition to Antarctica. It's 1928, and planning for this great scientific exploration to Antarctica is underway. Newspapers across the globe are covering every stage of the preparation. And in the midst of all of this, the night before the expedition's flagship is ready to launch, Billy Goronsky, a skinny first-generation New York City high school kid, desperate to escape his future in the family upholstery business, jumps into the Hudson River and sneaks aboard the ship. In fact, the enthusiastic 18-year-old was caught trying to sneak on board three times before he could finally convince Commander Richard Byrd to let him join as a mess boy. The Gussie Stowey becomes an international celebrity and a symbol of American enthusiasm and ambition. So lots of fun history in that one.
All right. And that's out today. We should know.
That's out today. And then my last one, and then I'm going to turn it over to Kate. This is a book called Craft by Alexander Langlands. And his subtitle is An Inquiry into the Origins and True Meaning of Traditional Crafts. And it might sound a little obscure, but I like deep history, and I know a lot of other people out there do. The name Alexander Langlands might be familiar to some people. If you watch any of the BBC, their version of reality TV, shows like Edwardian Farm and Tales from the Green Valley, Langlands is often on those shows as one of the historical reenactors. And in his book, Craft, he explores what's actually the very old English word, craft, that almost defies modern translation, but signified an almost indefinable sense of knowledge, wisdom, and resourcefulness. We follow Langlands as he herds sheep, keeps bees, tans hides, spins wool, and thatches roofs. We learn that scythes work better than modern weed trimmers, and that it was once considered criminal to work on animal hides before a 12-month soak. And I think that ultimately, because I'm reading this book right now, Langlands believes that in exploring the roots of craft, we connect with our human past, our sense of place, and our remarkable capacity to survive in the harshest of landscapes.
The name of the book is Craft, An Inquiry into the Origins and True Meaning of Traditional Crafts by Alexander Langlands. All right, Kate, you're up.
Hey, thanks. We can be science nature nerds here at Bat and Kill Books. So when A Place to Start a Family by David L. Harrison, illustrated by Giles LaRoche, arrived in the bookstore, I was very intrigued. It's not a family planning book, but a children's picture book done in verse. And through colorful illustrations with collage-like features, one's attention is focused on the uniqueness of a dozen creatures and the fascinating, really fascinating structures they build to house and protect their young. The book is divided into four sections, depending upon where the animal builds, whether it's underground, on land, in water, or in the air. So from prairie dogs to king cobras to stickleback fish to the white stork, we are treated to a poem that describes the animals' behavior and the homes they build. And for the budding scientist, there is more information about each of the creatures at the end of the book with additional book titles suggested. So it's a real resource book. I think it's inspiring, too. It's kind of that real good combination of science and art that we are trying to so hard to get into our curriculums. And I really think it will whet the child's appetite to learn more about the animals and how they transform their environments.
All right, A Place to Start a Family.
That one. And the next book I chose is in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And it is called Be a King by Carol Boston Weatherford, illustrated by James E. Ransom. And in this picture book, each two-page picture spread, and they are absolutely beautiful, begins with the simple statement, you can be a king. And then it's followed by two very simple sentences on each page using the words and the verbal images that Martin Luther King used in his speeches during his lifetime. Each is an encouragement to children and to us all, really, suggesting practical ways to live a better life in community. The illustrations present all manner of difference, race, national background, age, physical disability, and it is really an inspiring book. Certain parts even brought tears to my eyes, and it shows that to be a hero is a series of intentional, thoughtful, and caring decisions. And I believe it should be in every classroom, community, library, and home.
Beautiful. It's called Be a King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s Dream for You. And it is by Carol Boston Weatherford. All right, next.
Yeah, And the last picture book I have is called Love by Newbery Award winner Matt De La Pena, sorry about that, and illustrated by Lauren Long. And if you know Otis the Tractor books, you will know Lauren Long's illustrations. Like the book To Be a King, each page turn in Love features an intricate illustration of people engaged in a scene of daily life. There's a paragraph describing the scene and how love is a part of what is occurring in the picture. This isn't a princess book about love, though. It is gritty in many ways and a real life, and has a real life side to it. There are pictures of parents looking over a crib at their newborn, then following a conversation and a taxi with the newborn on its way home. But in that illustration, there's a picture of a boy in a wheelchair offering some food to a homeless man on a park bench. So you've got all these images really to kind of integrate into what love is. It's more for the elementary age child, as it presents the intricacies of love, how fear and hurt can sometimes be mixed up with love. And I honestly can't say that I love this book. My own feelings about it are really complex, but it feels like a really significant book, which, like the Be a King book, would provide many openings for discussion and opportunities for social-emotional growth.
Very diplomatic. I like it. Love by Matt De La Pena and illustrated by Lauren Long. And in the time we have left, which is about 2 minutes, we have time to talk about some cool events that are coming up.
We've got a lot going on this winter. So we have next Thursday night, we are hosting an author named Elna Butterfield. And Elna has written several memoirs about growing up in the 1940s in rural Vermont. She grew up around Rutland, Vermont. And she has 6 books out, everything from the one-room schoolhouse to lending a hand on her grandparents' farm. And we just got a very late addition to our schedule that we are super excited about. On February 8th, we will be hosting Catherine Arden. Catherine is the author of The Bear and the Nightingale and her new one out in hardcover called The Girl in the Tower. These are books that are set in medieval Russia, and they are phenomenal. And we're so happy that Catherine's going to be coming our way. Then we have Thursday, February 15th, we will be hosting several of the writers and the editor of the new anthology, Before They Were Our Mothers, which is a collection of stories by women who reflect on their mothers who were born sometime before 1940. So there's some wonderful stories in that one. And then the last one that I'll just throw in is on March 25th, we are going to be hosting a full Scottish tea, and we are celebrating the mystery writer Anne Cleves and her Scottish mysteries. So more information to come on that one. But anything that has to do with a full Scottish tea, I'm in. So
yes, absolutely. Yeah. Well, we'll look forward to that. You can find out information on all the books and all the events by going to batandkillbooks.com. Better yet, go visit them in Cambridge, New York, Bat and Kill Books. And you can see the full list on our website as well, wamc.org/roundtable. Connie Brooks, Kate Reed, thank you very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure to have you on the program. Stay safe, be well, and I'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks, Joe.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.